Welcome to Juno Afternoon on this Friday, April 16th. Get your coffee, your tea, your favorite beverage, and go out and sit in the sun. And get ready to settle in for some good conversation. I'm Rhonda McBride, your host for this hour, and we will play with words today. Emily Wall and her love affair with poetry. And we'll be sure to read some poetry out loud today. And by the way, there is a contest for that, a statewide competition for high school students. You'll meet the top two finalists. And then there's poetry in motion, birds winging their way back to Juno. Some tips on where you can go to see them. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows in the upper 30s, north winds 10 miles per hour. A beautiful weekend ahead with clear skies for tomorrow and Sunday in the forecast. Juno Afternoon will be right back after National Native News. You are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. It has been just a pleasure this month bringing you local poets as part of our celebration of National Poetry Month, and there is more to come in the final weeks of the month, but our guest today, well, I think she might be described as a Johnny Appleseed of Juno poetry, but probably more apropos, Emily Appleseed. Emily Wall teaches poetry at the University of Alaska Southeast. She also writes poetry, and she joins us today. So, Emily, I guess the first question for you is it rewarding to be able to scatter these seeds, cultivating poets and the love of poetry?
Thank you so much for having me. I absolutely love teaching. I'm in my 24th year of teaching at UAS. And it's amazing to me the stories that my students bring. They walk into my class each year and they're so incredibly brave. They show up and they say, okay, here I am. I'm going to tell some stories. And they need some encouragement and kind of a safe space, but really they are incredible to work with and to watch their progression, you know, from maybe being a little timid into, and sometimes I work with them for years in multiple classes, to seeing them start publishing their own work. I've had students go to grad school, publish books. It's really rewarding.
It almost seems like writing poetry or reading it out loud is kind of an act of courage. Do you think so?
Absolutely, it is. On the very first day, the first thing I tell my students is, well done, you walked in the door. Every semester I have students who will stop me in the halls and say, I'm going to take your class, but I'm not ready. It's too scary. So I tell them just walking in this door is really an act of bravery because you're coming into a room often of 15 strangers. And I'm going to ask you to open the doors of your stories, to tell us private things and scary things and wonderful things. And they want to do it, but it definitely takes some courage to say, here I am and I have a story to tell.
So do you see some transformation in the students when they get past their initial fears and start openly and proudly sharing?
Absolutely. Yeah. All the time. It's one of my favorite moments in class. And often even about a month in, I give them lots of exercises kind of as a way of moving past that sense of nervousness. And someone will write something, even just a 5-minute poem or something, and they'll read it. And there'll be this like moment in the class where everyone's like, oh, that's so good, you know, and the class cheers each other on kind of, and you can see that student get a sense of like, yeah, I said a thing and that thing was true and everybody responded to it. And you can sort of right there just see that kind of transformation and power. It's so cool to watch.
How do you think that translates into other parts of their lives?
I hope that it gives them confidence. Sometimes students bring in really hard stories, you know, and I encourage that. I tell them, tell us what's true, even if it's hard to say. And they've told me that a lot of times they find a sense of empowerment. You know, they'll come in. I see this a lot sometimes with my women students, particularly. I sometimes work with students who are even retired. And they'll come in and they'll share a story and say, no one has ever wanted to hear this story. And I think them being able to share it and have it be received and loved by a group, I hope will give them even more confidence in other areas of their life.
That is really an interesting point you just made, that people don't feel listened to in the course of day-to-day life when they want to talk about something very deep and meaningful, but yet they're surprised that a poem opens that door.
It can, absolutely. And that's the power of poetry. You know, in my intro lit classes, my students come in often and I'll say, how do you feel about poetry? And they're like, oh God, no, we hate poetry. And I kind of love that moment. It kind of makes me laugh. I always tell them, okay, prepare to be converted. And it's sort of my goal. And then I start bringing them poems unlike ones they've seen before. And I think once they see a poem that tells their story or is like their lives, it really opens their eyes. One of my favorite poems to teach is Kristi Naomi Erickson's poem, Bent. It's this incredible poem, a little bit about racism, a little bit about her culture. And I see students thinking, oh, wow, she's telling my story. And all of a sudden they start to think, wait, I actually have a story because here's someone else who I get, you know? And so they respond to that poem in a really intense way. And it kind of starts to help them think, yeah, actually we all have stories and we all can talk to each other through poetry.
You know, Kristi Naomi Erickson is amazing to me. She's a local woman, a businesswoman. She runs Kindred Post, owns that business. And I think she first got onto my radar screen when she wrote a love letter to the governor, I believe. It was about how the budget is, in essence, a love letter. I thought that was a very powerful way to talk about something in a very different way, because when we hear the budget, yeah. But this got my attention. She is amazing, and there are a lot of really talented people in this community. Why do you think that this community is so poetry rich?
That's a great question. I don't know if I have a definitive answer. I mean, first of all, I think this landscape is pretty inspiring. I think that being in such a beautiful place draws people here. But it's a very supportive community. I mean, I think since day one, I remember 24 years ago, there used to be a monthly poetry reading in the old Jack building, you know, downtown. And all kinds of people would show up and read, and we're very supportive. And I've always felt really supported, and I see that in lots of ways. I was thinking, you know, Ishmael Hope is another one of my favorite poets, and he does an amazing work on social media, lifting up other writers around him, you know, and I think that a lot of Juno writers try to do that, and it helps create the sense that we're not competing with each other. We're all telling our stories together, and that's really nice.
And Ishmael, of course, is a Tlingit writer and draws upon his culture, just as Kristi draws upon her Korean-American heritage. So that's also very exciting to see that kind of diversity. Well, I want to just sort of turn the clock back a bit and ask you about how it was that you first came to love poetry.
That's a great question. Actually, the first time I wrote a poem, I grew up in Portland in a little bit of a rough high school. It wasn't a great place. We had sort of armed security guards and some gang activity. And I think I had a wonderful teacher, right? That's where it starts for so many people. And one day she invited us to her house, and she lived on this little lake, and she put us in rowboats and said, all right, you know, each of you, you're going to get in this rowboat and you're going to write a haiku and you're going to row around this lake. And it was this like magical experience for me, where I was the rhythm of rowing, and she had taught us how to write a haiku, which seemed okay. It was only three lines. We could do this. And everybody in this class just loved it, and it was wonderful. And I think that's the moment where I started really thinking about poetry.
Well, I've been asking all of our guests this month that come on to talk about poetry to share a poem that they love that someone else wrote. So have you got one picked out for us?
I do. Many of my favorite poets, of course, are Alaskans, and particularly Southeast Alaskans. So I've brought a poem by Vivian Faith Prescott. She lives in Wrangell. She's a remarkable poet. I really love her work. So this is from her new book, Silty Water People, which just came out, and you guys can get a copy of it. And this poem is called The Old Woman Who Lives Underneath. And I love this poem. I hope you guys like it too. The old woman who lives underneath resides inside your molten core. You are ancient enough to have lived her life, because when you tell your stories, no one believes you. They don't see her as she shakes our world from beneath, story after story, Raven, Wind Man, Son of Sun. Your stories are a celebration, a ceremony of fat offered to her, so she won't shake, send a wave to drown us, swallow us as if we were spruce needles. But I sensed the old woman the day you were born, felt that time-worn split, and when you first tried to sit up, you wobbled on her axis. And when you walked and then ran for the first time down my hallway, her shadow lingered for a moment, wondering if she should chase after you, follow you into your story, maybe knowing how hard it will be to carry two spirits around all day.
Oh, two spirits around all day. So point out what it is that you love about that poem, and you did such a wonderful job of delivering it.
Most about Vivian is that she always uses everyday objects around us, but she imbues them with this kind of empowerment. You know, she makes me stop and think about a child running down a hallway on their chubby little legs, and then that deep well of feminine power in that girl child, you know? And so I love the way that she fuses kind of something we've all seen with, like, there's so much richness and culture and power behind these images if we stop and pay attention to them.
Well, it's definitely an interesting note in that poem about sensing that there's an old soul there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think Vivian is just wonderful about sort of reminding us of the power of women in particular. You know, particularly in our contemporary world, we need to hear that, right? And I think in this, I picture in this poem, the sort of the grandmother figure, right? The older, powerful woman who are watching over us and helping us and teaching us that we're not alone, you know, as we learn to walk.
Well, teaching poetry and cultivating other poets, getting to know other poets' work in this region, it must inform your own work, doesn't it?
Sure, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's one of the gifts of teaching is that my day-to-day work is studying poetry. And of course, that helps me as a writer. I'm constantly trying to read new poets, learn new things, challenge my students, and I tell them I never give them a writing exercise without doing it myself first, right? To see how it goes. You know, can I do it? Can I pull this off? How's this gonna look? And sometimes I do it with them in class and I think, okay, that worked or that didn't work. And we're all learning, you know, I tell them we're never at the top of the mountain. We're all climbing and learning and growing and challenging ourselves all the time.
But you've been on the trail for quite a while. How many years have you been writing poetry?
About 30 years. I started in high school. And then in college, I started taking poetry workshops and started to get more serious about it, you know, and then I went to grad school for my MFA. And so my fourth book is about to come out and I've been publishing in journals, but I also feel like at this point in my career, I'm trying new things. I'm trying to challenge myself to go new directions and, think about where my work should be going.
So what's in your fourth new book? Is it different, a departure from some of your others?
It is a little bit. So I'm in the middle of a project right now that I started kind of in the wake of the Trump election. And it's three chapbooks of poetry. I know you're laughing. These are my rage poems. But really what happened is that I was really hungry for the voices of powerful women to speak to me. So I started writing persona poems. And I chose three powerful women and I wrote poems in their voices. So the book that's coming out this August is Poems in the Voice of Georgia O'Keeffe, the artist. I've always loved her work and I spent several years researching her life, reading her letters, studying her art. So this is different for me because it's not just me speaking, it's me speaking through her voice.
Trying to channel her. I guess maybe that's the beauty of poetry is it's sort of biographical, but it also depends upon elements from your imagination. So I was going to ask you if you would share a poem or two with us before we go. Are you going to read us one from your new book, or is that something we're going to have to wait for?
Yeah, I'll read you one of the Georgia ones. These are kind of fun. So these are in her voice, and they're also ekphrastic, so they each respond to a piece of her work. And this poem is called Dear Feral Self, and it's a painting that's a sharp black claw. It's an incredible painting of hers. So a lot of people think of her as just the big poppy flowers, but she has some very intense, ragey paintings, I think, of them. So this is Dear Feral Self. Dear claw, how sharply beautiful I am, and how beautifully sharp. You see, I can speak again. New York is so far away. Here, I am windowsills rich with my walks, shells, bones, stones. Here, I am light falling on palm pads, leaping tendons, this warm belly, shelled egg. I am no longer afraid will break. Of course, they will try. So line your bedside table with seeds. And remember how last night you sat up in the desert, moonlight, your body, the only drop of water for miles, your eye shining. Now sharpen to a gleaming point your tongue bone. Sister, first curl, then strike.
Ooh, first curl, then strike. Tongue bones. It's kind of chilling there.
This is Georgia right after she left her husband and found her home in the desert.
But you know, that I think is so vivid. It gives you pictures. You feel like you're experiencing sort of a chapter of someone's life, a moment in their life through that poem. Mm-hmm. So would you like to share one other poem for us? And it's such a delight to be able to hear someone read poetry more than, you know, I love to look at poetry books, just like the recent issue of Tidal Echoes that came out. It's a wonderful way to enjoy a cup of coffee and just take a little break. But it's also such a joy to hear poets read their own work.
Sure, I'd love to. This is a new one, so we'll see how it flies. And this is a poem written in the voice of Alice Waters, the sort of seminal chef from Berkeley, California. And it's called Amuse-Bouche. And this poem is a pantoum, so it repeats lines from each stanza. It's a form poem. Amuse-Bouche, a bowl of warm milk made from wild grass. From Frog Hollow Farm, one silky rich peach, garlic, artichoke, one seductive olive. This is how much you should love your body. From Frog Hollow Farm, one silky rich peach. You sit in the shade of an acacia, massage your own palms. Yes, this is how much you should love your body. Make yourself a tender omelet, eggs, butter, chervil. You sit in the shade of an acacia, massage your own palms. You smell garlic, artichoke, seductive olives. Now make yourself tenderness with eggs, butter, chervil, with a bowl of warm milk, with these wild grasses.
That's a nice poem to hear, especially on a day like this. I hope so, that some of our listeners are sitting outside enjoying the sun as they're listening to this. One of the things that I think people always tend to think if they're not fans of poetry is that, oh, it's something for the elite, that it's really not an everyman kind of thing. But do you believe truly that there is a poet within all of us, and why?
I do, absolutely. I think that's a well-earned reputation, because I think for many years poetry was taught badly. Everybody read three Shakespeare sonnets and that was the end of it. And thankfully, that's not true anymore, I think. It's being taught in beautiful ways. We talked about Christy earlier. Christy Nami Erickson was a poet in the schools, and she created a slam poetry series at Gastineau Elementary. And those kids were doing slam poetry. And Poetry Out Loud is another perfect example, right? I mean, our winner this year, incredible speaker of poetry, like she performed it incredibly. Like, I fell in love with the way she performed because I could tell she had taken that poem and made it hers. There's no way this was some sort of language that is no longer spoken. So I think programs like Poetry Out Loud and Poets in the Schools and a lot of the hardworking teachers in our district are working to help students access poetry, right? And to not make it seem like it's this incomprehensible thing anymore.
Well, I wonder, I'm thinking back to my initial dislike of poetry back in high school, listening to kids stumble and butcher poetry when it probably would have been better for the teacher maybe to have read the Shakespearean verse so that we would get the rhythm of it and not hear the kids struggle. But I do believe that the power of poetry is in the hearing of it. And that is really one thing that's amazing about Christy, is that she has this gift for bringing her words to life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, honestly, I think there's no right way to do poetry. I think that's part of the anxiety about it. Because I have, you know, very, very shy storytellers, too, who think, I cannot stand up and perform. I'm not a performer. And I tell them, like, go read some Mary Oliver. Go read some William Stafford. These are poems that are best read in your pajamas, in bed, you know, in this sort of quiet space where you think, yeah, that's exactly me. She's speaking my language. And I just think the diversity of poetry out there is incredible. So if you're not liking it, keep looking. You'll find the poet that speaks to you and hopefully encourages you to write. There's no wrong way to write poetry either, right? It's not this sort of like high art that isn't accessible or it shouldn't be.
And I suppose your message to young people is if you don't read poetry well, it doesn't mean that you always will read it badly.
No, I mean, my message would be just keep looking for the poet that speaks to you. You know, I think like any art form, right? If you don't like classical symphony, you know, go listen to like, you know, contemporary music. I mean, there's such a diversity that I think that's, they just sort of, I encourage them to find the writer that's really speaking to them or something to start writing their own poems. You know, there's no judgment. There's no wrong way to do it.
Well, coming up in our next segment, we're going to be talking to two of the winners of the statewide Poetry Out Loud competition for high school students. And of course, they had to learn to recite poetry. And again, like you said, it takes courage to do that. But you have been a judge in that competition. How do you think it helps these students grow?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would love to hear them answer that. I think I've been a judge 5 or 6 times. And I think that this year, the winner and the runner-up were two of the strongest performers I have ever seen. I was like moved to tears, actually. It was so powerful. I think just because it was obvious they hadn't just memorized. They had taken this poem into their bones, right? And were giving it their life. And it was them and the poem had fused into this like very, very powerful thing. And it just sort of like, I was like, ah, poetry, here it is. This is the way that it's supposed to be. And I know it was hours of work on their part. And like you said, a deep bravery, right? A willingness to actually inhabit that poem, not just stand in front of a microphone, but to really put their heart into it. And it really came across that way.
Well, we are out of time and we're going to go to our Poetry Out Loud winners next. But I want to thank you very much for visiting with us, Emily, and explaining to us where the source of your passion comes from.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful to have you here.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Our celebration of National Poetry Month continues on Juno Afternoon today. I'm Rhonda McBride. In our world of feverishly fast texts and Twitters, there hardly seems the time to hear poetry out loud anymore, but a poetry reading competition for high school students is out to change that.
Two shall be born the whole world wide apart, and speak in different tongues.
Up, up, my friend, and quit your books, or surely you'll go double. Up, up, my friend, and clear your looks. Why all this toil and trouble?
The awful spirits of the deep hold their communion there, and there are those for whom we weep. The young, the bright, the fair.
That's a few of the finalists in the statewide Poetry Out Loud competition, which featured students from places as far-flung as North Pole, Port Allsworth, and Petersburg. Each had to select poems from an anthology compiled by the contest, and then had to memorize them.
And for my final poem, I will be reciting Morning Poem for the Queen of Sunday by Robert Hayden.
Normally, the students would have gathered in Juneau to recite the poetry, but the pandemic pushed the contest to Zoom. The Juneau Arts and Humanities Council is one of the partners in the project, and its director, Nancy DeTourney, says it was still impressive.
What I truly love about this program is the power and magic of the performances from the students. It always just stuns me what the kids bring to this.
Kathleen Tarr was one of the judges and author of the book, We Are All Poets Here.
We are living in the pandemic time right now, and it's really a poetic time in a way.
Tarr says as she watched the students recite their selections, she could see that the pandemic had forced them to slow down, to truly take in every word, almost as if the readings this year had become a whole body experience.
I'm impressed by the organization that we have been able to do this in the pandemic, bring poetry to everyone. It's not for the ivory tower. It's not for the academics. Poetry is for the common people. It is for all of us. So kudos to Poetry Out Loud competition.
And you can hear highlights from the Poetry Out Loud competition on KTOO 104.3 FM on Monday, April 19th at 7 o'clock in the evening. That's 7 o'clock, Monday, April 19th. And there's also a TV version of the program, Celebration of Poetry Out Loud. That airs on Sunday, April the 26th at 8 p.m. on 360 TV. And so now, without further ado, we have the state champs joining us, Asaya Gibson and Tatiana Watkins-Snow. Asaya was the champion, and then Tatiana was the runner-up. And we also have the coordinator for Poetry Out Loud, Amanda Falori, who is based here in Juneau with the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. I'm going to start with you, Amanda, because wouldn't you say that just about everybody who participates in this program is a winner in some way, that you just can't lose being a part of this?
I would have to agree. You can't lose. This is my seventh year coordinating the program, and just with Tatiana and Asaya, watching the videos from the regional competition this year to the state, so much growth. Girls, you brought me to tears as well. I loved your performances. It's really amazing. I wish I could meet you both in person, so I'm settling for Zoom. But really, it's just a wonderful program, and there's just so much that you can get from it. And just as we said earlier, watching Amanda Gorman, you know, African-American young lady performing at the inauguration, you know, there's just many ways that you can go on with poetry, and it's just amazing to see.
Yes, she was really sort of a beacon of light in a lot of ways. And you wonder what kind of influence she's had. And both of our champions happen to be African-American, and they both happen to be from West High in Anchorage. But Asaya, congrats for your championship. I just wanted to ask you, because what I understood is that you were not able to go on to the Nationals because of COVID. So what's going to happen this year?
This year, thankfully, Nationals are actually happening. They're going to be virtual this time around, and they happen in May, May 2nd and the 27th, and I'm super excited.
I can imagine. So, Tatiana, can you tell us a little bit about what the prizes are for the statewide competition, the incentives to compete?
Other than just a basic love for poetry, I think one of the many prizes would be, you get your certificate, you get $100, which was something really fun to spend. And there's just this sense of recognition, having your name out there and getting involved with more people who are interested.
So Asayo, what about the national competition? Are there scholarships or anything tied in with that?
Yeah, the prizes are a little bit bigger in nationals. They can range from $5,000, $10,000. Yeah, it's a really big opportunity, a really big deal.
Well, both of you are African-American, and I'm just kind of curious if poetry has been an outlet for you to express your culture, express concerns about social justice, things like that.
I think that's definitely true. With every year that I've done it so far, I've tried to be on the lookout for poems that I can personally relate to, poems that I know I can see myself in, maybe the author or the story being told. I think that's an important part of reciting any poem, is being able to relate to it.
How about you, Asayo?
Yes, definitely. I totally agree. Not only can you find poems that, you know, reflect all different types of culture, but you can also learn from them and relay them to like your own writing, which is what I love to do.
Well, in this competition, the students read the poetry, but I understand that you actually write poetry. And I just wondered if we could impose upon you and have you share one of your poems with us.
Yes, of course. One of the poems that I wrote actually because of Poetry Out Loud was a poem called Stolen. Normally I write free verse, but this one is actually a Shakespearean sonnet, and it's my first one that I've ever written. So here we go. A thief revealed through breadcrumbs on her mouth. You blame her choices, but she blames her God. Her voice and thighs delivered by the South. You see her strength and know your aim, maraud. Of self, of truth, of help, of confidence. Never forget of that one little thing. Her laughter, stretched marks, have no consequence. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. She brings anger and pain and all the like, and sets them free with kindness to herself. She spills her guts with words as if a strike, a work in progress, battles on the shelf. What has been stolen, bravely she steals back. True love is something she no longer lacks.
Wow. I want to go to you, Amanda, next, because when students choose poems to recite, of course, they're not their own. They go to an anthology to choose one. But I saw on Facebook, on the Poetry Out Loud page, that students seem to be picking this one particular poem. What was that poem, and why do you think they chose it?
The number one poem this year, I always say that every year the students kind of create a theme without knowing it. And the poem this year was Fate by Carolyn Wells. We had, I think, three or four students pick that poem. And it's a really sweet poem. I mean, I think it's about lovers and, you know, just this dreamy aspect of what things can do and what fate holds. And so that was really curious to see, because I think that, I don't know, I can't speak for Tatiana and Asayo or the students, but it seems like everyone has hope and fate. And I think that that was really correlated and shown throughout the poem choices, which was really beautiful.
Well, this was a year that fate was very unpredictable, especially with the COVID-19 epidemic going on and affecting this competition, because I think it's the first time that it's been held virtually. Am I correct?
It's the first time that the state competition has been held virtually. Our regional competition for our rural areas in Alaska, and for, you know, anybody that's in Alaska, we have all of these. I do this little symbol, right? Here's Alaska. So all the Aleutian Islands and all the Southeast and stuff, most of the rural small communities, they have to submit their videos just the same way that we did the whole competition this year. So, but this was the first year that the whole thing was held by Zoom. And so it was challenging, but I think that we made it through.
Well, I asked Tatiana if she would read Fate for us. So she's prepared to read it. And I can't wait to hear it since so many kids chose it.
This is a wonderful poem. I really, really enjoy this. Okay. Fate, Carolyn Wells. Two shall be born, the whole world wide apart, and speak in different tongues, and pay their debts in different kinds of coins, and give no heed each to the other's being, and know not that each might suit the other to a T. If they were but correctly introduced, and these unconsciously shall bend their steps, escaping Spaniards and defying war, unerringly toward the same trysting place. Albeit they know it not, until at last they enter the same door, and suddenly they meet. And ere they've seen each other's face, they fall into each other's arms upon the Broadway cable car, and this is fate.
Ooh, that last line, the way you just kind of punched it there. I have a question for both of you, and we'll go to Asaya first on this. I noticed that as I listened to the Poetry Out Loud compilation, sort of the highlights reel, that I didn't hear many male voices. And I'm just curious why we aren't hearing more young men interested in reading poems.
That is a good question. I think that there's definitely been a rise, at least in the 4 years that I've done Poetry Out Loud. I feel like there are a lot more male voices into poetry and speaking poetry. But I think that also kind of reflects the poetry community itself. I see a lot more female voices than males. I'm not quite sure why that is.
Do you think, Tatiana, that the young men would benefit by embracing poetry more, exploring it?
I think they 100% would. I know especially, at least because Asaya and I are both African-American, I know that with rap, a lot of young Black boys get into rap early and they don't really put together the fact that they're making poetry. They're doing these things that are seen as upper class and higher grade than what, you know, they're writing in their notebooks in the margins during class. And sort of advertising those opportunities like Poetry Out Loud is beneficial, I think.
That's interesting that you say that, because boy, poetry really is the ultimate, or rather rap is the ultimate in wordplay in many, many ways. So how about the two of you, Asaya? How do you both think that you have benefited by being a part of this competition?
I think I've definitely been able to explore other people's perspectives that aren't my own. You know, I am a Black female, and so I have my own set of like values and ideals, and being able to look at other people's voices and their minds and their thought processes and just being able to explore that and gain further understanding is something really special.
How about you, Tatiana?
I think the same sort of idea that Asaya has going is that just the different perspectives are just endless, and it's so intriguing to be pulled in all these different directions and find all these new stories.